Okay. You're going to ask me questions?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want to ask me questions,
well, you
I'm
know.
Happy to ask.
You ask me what you want to know, and then we'll have a little chat about it, I suppose.
there's a lot of questions here to ask you. I mean, perhaps first of all, since we talked about it on the phone, you could tell me a bit about equal pay. And I mean, there's sort of two areas. One is actually when they introduced equal pay and the reclassifications. And the second is the cases that you've had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I've got the older, you know, which I can give you copies of, the older agreements.
Oh, yes.
And in the older agreements, there would be classifications of workers, and then there would be males and females.
Mm.
Obviously, when the Equal Pay Act was in the office, people negotiating on national agreements in particular, well, any agreement really, knew that, you know, eventually they'd have to stop using the expressions male and female. And the people who were on that agreement, the Federation Agreement, set up a joint working party to look into exactly what they would come out with afterwards. Because not only was there pressure on the need to get rid of the sex male and female, there was also pressure on to reduce the number of grades.
And was that related, or was that an independent issue?
No, there was sort of two pressures happening at the same time. Mm. The pressure to reduce grades would have been there whether equal pay had come in or not, but they sort of came at the same time.
Was that pressure from you, or pressure from management?
Yeah, mostly from the workers, yeah.
Why was that? Why did they want the numbers of grades reduced?
Well, it seems to be a thing with workers that they want to be treated equally, you know, with one another, and they don't like to think that somebody else is a higher grade than them. Although, really, from the employer's point of view, it's preferable for the employer's point of view to group as many of the ordinary semi-skilled workers into the same grade, which enables them to carry on the mobility of labour things.
Yes.
When you start separating people and say, well, they're this grade and they're that grade, then it's harder for an employer to move them around. So that I think the employers as well wanted as many people as possible in, you know, the one broad band. So that when the exercise started to try and bring in equal pay, and I've got some documentation you can have, you know. The documentation shows the grades that the women are in, the grades that the men were in. And I think that the first attempt by the union and the employers was a very clumsy attempt, as far as the women were concerned, it was a very clumsy attempt to do overnight what is really a years and years job. You know, you can't wave a magic wand and suddenly change it from, you know, a rigid male-female setup to suddenly saying, well, you know, tomorrow it's equal pay. Some work's got to be done. Mm-hmm. And the hardest job, I think, was that most of the union side were males. And I think they were males with the sort of tongue in the cheek as far as equal pay was concerned. The other thing that made it difficult for the men and the women really was that the majority of the men in the industry work rotating shifts days and nights, whereas it's quite rare for women to be employed at nights. Either on ships or otherwise. And the men always saw, and it's still a problem, that the men seem to think that because they rotate from days to nights, that in itself makes them more valuable to the employer. And they don't take into account the fact that there's a premium for the word economics, and that premium ought to reflect whatever that worth is.
Mm. So they reckon they ought to be paid more just as a base rate, so to speak.
Well, they class themselves as they think they're more valuable to the employer than the women are, simply because they're going to do this rotation of days and nights. And I suppose in some ways the employers are as bad in that. See, if they were advertising for somebody to work on a bread plant, in theory they can't advertise for a man. They must advertise for a person to do it. But when they examine that person, the barrier that they put in that the person must alternate days and nights automatically takes out 95% of the women who might want to apply anyway. Mm. So it's an automatic disqualification. But to go back to the slot, sort of slotting in of the grades. When the exercise was first done, I think it was in 74 to 75. The majority of the men in the industry, well, I think you can say all the men in the industry, were either in grade D or above.
That was in the old grades?
No, in the revised one.
In the revised
the one? That, when they bought it in, they bought it in from A to F.
Mm.
Bought a new one in, a new one in from A to F. And all the men were in F or better.
Mm.
D or better. And the rate of pay which applied at the time meant that the men continued in that grade D, regardless of the job. Now, because there was a sort of revaluation, men who were on the lowest, doing the lowest job that men might do, should really have been reclassified as F.
Yeah.
Or would have been, going to that lowest classification. And of course, the union couldn't sell to anybody an Irishman's right. So it was agreed that the person would retain his rate of pay while he was employed there.
Mm-hmm.
But a newcomer, a male newcomer or female, but we're really thinking in terms of male, the newcomer would go get the lower rate.
Mm.
But even that, show the documentation, even that met with considerable opposition from the union.
Yeah.
And actually the chap who led the union side is dead now, Sam Maddox. For my money, didn't understand anything.
Bye.
Because he put up a battle for the men to retain a better rate in that man's working lifetime, it demanded to. It wasn't something that was going to be phased out next Christmas or the next pay round or something like that.
Yeah.
He was.
Can I have a cup of tea or a coffee?
Probably a cup of coffee.
Sugar?
No sugar.
No. He was going to be kept in that better grade while he worked there.
Yeah.
You see. But women who worked there didn't automatically jump up to the grade they should have jumped up to.
Didn't they?
No, they didn't catch him up in that sense.
Yeah. Mm.
They didn't catch him up. They stayed in.
They stayed in the grade. Because they were already
laid down. Yeah. They were already getting paid in that lower grade, so they stayed in that lower grade. The male who should have been, somebody should have grasped the net and said, "You are downgraded, but it won't happen until next pay round." But even then, it would have been an Irishman's right situation where you're not going to get as much as you would have got because of this. Mm. But they weren't. I think the union was scared of the men, and they couldn't face up to them and tell them.
Yeah.
And it shows up in a lot of the stuff that happened then.
Was there a lot of dispute about it within the
union? Oh, yeah. Oh, a lot of dispute. And that's the stuff I want to, you know, I'll show you just now. Women were reading that, you know, it was on in press and television and so on. And a lot of the women didn't understand either what equal pay was about. This business of job of equal value and that sort of thing, they just didn't understand, you know, they just took it that they were going to get the same as their husband, whatever, you know, whatever he did, or whatever she did, you know, because it was just going to happen like that. So that we've got a procedure in the matrix, what's called a grievance procedure, which is a form which is filled in, so that if there is a problem, it starts off with one of these forms, and it goes through various stages, people try and put things right, and if they don't, then the form can go all the way to the top, which is the, you know, this organisation.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we call a procedure form. And these things start off at bakery level. You know, we at the time, these are, we have dozens of them where the women...
There's
dozens of them, you know, women complain about, we do this, that and the other, and we don't get the rate that you said we were going to get to do it. So I've got stacks of those in there.
Is that Mrs. S. Fulton? That's Sutton's?
These are Sutton's, yeah.
I just happened to notice that because I interviewed her.
Oh, you had it? Yeah,
she's moved actually to store us now.
This is a round robin thing signed by the them at the time. But we got dozens of them, you know.
Thanks very much.
See the sort of stuff our boss was sending out. This was to do with morning goods, which is another marginal thing. Yeah. There was a naughty sort of definition about distributing or dispatching, or putting up of orders and so on, which didn't discriminate against women because it referred to the goods that they handled.
Mm.
But it had the effect of saying that if the article being handled is bread, it's worth that. If it's not bread, it's only worth that. And men handled bread, and women handled confectionery. You know.
Yeah. And is that still in?
That sort of division, you know. That is in there, you know. We're in Sutton's where you were, you see, we had a situation where there were, you know, confectionery dispatch is technically in the bottom grade, which is the lowest grade.
Yeah.
Whereas bread dispatch is up there, deep. One of the reasons is that bread is normally in bigger, heavier baskets, and bigger packages and things like that. But also, of course, that the men on bread dispatch rotate. So, you know, they're on days or nights.
All nights, yeah.
Whereas women confectionery dispatchers are on days.
Yeah.
But at Sutton's, you've got little departments, only three of them. But there's three Asian chappies who do it at night as well.
Yeah.
And the chap on the phone, he used to work at Robinson once, and he can make an appointment.
Who is it? Not Parrish, is it? Eh?
Yeah.
Parrish? Yeah, I've got a cheque for him, eh?
Yeah.
So listen, Tom, I've got a cheque for him. He can come in tomorrow morning, any time.
Okay.
So, when these grades came in, these chaps should have been downgraded.
Mm.
But they were doing it regular night. Regular nights, and the women were doing it in the daytime. And of course the men went mad, you know, they said, well, you know, I'm going to downgrade or sort of thing. But they did get the night work premium for doing it.
Yeah.
But what happened since then is that when they recruit anybody for that shift, then they're recruited on the low grade, which they should have been in the first place.
Yeah, so they're recruited
they
on should have,
oh, they are now, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, no, it's all right. I'm going to what's name's Thursday, aren't I? If you can come in about early Friday morning. Yeah. Okay. Come on. See what? This is some of the stuff that I'd like to send in here. This is around 77.
Mm. So you were quite late, actually.
Oh, yeah. We were late. But this is a sort of thing. With no worker being downgraded to arrive at that position, and no worker or workers brought in at a lower rate than that already paid to the worker or workers they replaced, you know.
Okay. So, in fact, that just keeps
them at the
ground.
It was more or less saying
there
ain't going to be no equal pay, you know.
Yeah.
This is what amused me at the time, was that even our own bosses were saying, you know, the union leaders were... To my money, they were saying, well, we want equal pay, but none of the men are going to suffer for it,
yeah.
Sort of thing. This is a bit daft, really.
But they weren't really, on the other hand, fighting to bring the women up, which is the other way to have done it. I mean,
oh, we did, yeah. You know, I mean, this is that we planned the strike. The only people who ever did
you?
That was the Morning Star, February 77. Vegas planned strike for equal pay. We threatened a national strike. I think we're the only union that did it. What was over the same issue?
Yeah.
But
that didn't.
No, we didn't have a strike. And I don't really know what we got out of it.
I mean, in the threat of a strike, was that based on if you don't do X, then we'll strike?
So our boss said, Maddox says that when they suggested as employers that males coming into the industry should go down by £2.62 in pay, and there'd just been a £2.50 social contract increase, I asked the directors who made the statement if they were applying to join the London Palladium. You know, he wouldn't accept that. Having accepted the grades, he wouldn't accept that if a male came to work there, he'd have to be in that
lower grade.
That bottom grade.
Yes.
You know, he wouldn't. And a lot of the men are in the same boat, you know, but it didn't get through at all.
Is it still a problem, so to speak? Or.
It's coming on, you know. I don't think it's as bad as it was. It's a lot better than it was.
How many men are actually in the bottom grade now, the F?
Oh, hardly any at all. But what got me was that from the date that it started in so-called equal pay with the new grade in so forth, if a male went to any of these bakeries, they started him in grade D. If he was going to do shift work, started him in grade D. You know, regardless of which of the group, which of the jobs he was going to do. But mind you, they now were getting moans and groans that they are starting men on F.
Yeah. Is
we
that
are getting complaints, actually. You know.
You are?
I'm getting complaints from the men. Are they starting men lower than our age? You know? But when I look into it, and if they're starting them on the lowest grade of work, then they're entitled to do that.
Mm. Is that shift related to? I mean, I don't know how typical Sutton's is, where we've got massive evasions. I mean, is the starting to pay them on grade F related to an increase in the number of Asians coming into the job? Well, that's been characteristic
for
a long time.
Oh no, we've had Asians there for years.
Is Sutton's atypical in that way, or is that a characteristic of baking?
It's quite typical. But most of my bakeries in the Midlands, you know, not all of them, but most of them are high percentage of Asian workers.
Yeah.
But I've got others where they're quite mixed. And some where most of them are local people, you know. Just one or two of them.
Yeah.
Mostly white people, whatever. Because we had somebody from your from Warwick who did a study on the races in the bakery, you know. Somebody did a paper, yeah. I don't know.
I was trying to look that out.
Yeah, the guys came to see me, yeah. And we had quite a session on it.
How long ago was that?
3 or 4 years,
About 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it would be about 3 or 4 years. Because somebody done a little book on it, didn't they? On employment of coloured immigrants in the baking industry in the Midlands. Somebody's done
I must have a look.
But I know someone from your place certainly was interested. The chappie himself was an Asian.
Do you know whether he was in the sociology department?
I think he was, yeah. Because he's the one who put me right on a certain thing. He said that... We often get that where there's a lot of Asians, you try and get them to select a shop steward or something like that, and they do. And then you find that the shop steward isn't the leader of the people, that there's a natural leader somewhere behind him, and he will take part in discussions with management or whatever, the shop steward will, and take part in a joint decision or something, and then sometime the next day, that gets reversed. There's somebody down below, well, we think they're down below, but there's a natural leader amongst them who doesn't put himself forward for any of these jobs, anything like that. Often doesn't bother to learn the language and talks to them in their own language, but they're sort of natural leaders, you know, and this chap, he warned me about it. Because I'd found it happening a lot. You know, you know, they get elected and think, okay, like, you think if workers be elected somebody, he's going to speak on their behalf and whatever he agrees to, and that's going to be it, you know. You don't get it, you get a sort of a comeback action. And whoever it was from Warwick, he agreed with me that it was a strange thing to happen. But on this equal pay thing, what I've got here are the reason I've got them is that these were produced in the tribunal by the employers. These are minutes of the National Joint Committee, says private and confidential, which it was at that time as well. And these were minutes of meetings between the union and the Employers Federation when they were trying to bring in this equal pay thing. And these minutes were used by the employers in the tribunal case in Birmingham on equal pay. And I think you'd have to really have time to read all this, but these are where they sort of, the two sides were gradually getting together on the equal pay, and the employers were stating certain things. A proliferation of conciliation committee decisions for the next few months would in fact undermine the work of the working party. Set up a joint working party. We were bunging these forms up, you know, from individual women workers complaining about, you know, they haven't been treated properly under equal pay.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, these are Sutton's ones, you know. Chemo cake dispatchers, Sutton's. That's a copy of that one, yeah. Roll department, Sutton's. Sutton's again, look. Finishing departments.
Yeah.
We bung dozens in from Sutton's.
Did you go round sort of collecting them?
Well, it looks like a bit like that. Now, the union was saying that they'd set up a working party, which, well, we had set up a working party, and I thought it was our job, as us in the field, to go around the bakeries and look at the areas where, you know, there might be some problems. Because, as I say, the women have been geared up by the press, really, and, you know, they're going to we're going to get Utopia tomorrow sort of thing. You know, I don't think anybody sort of did when a proper exercise on saying, you know, that it couldn't happen like that. You know, woof.
Had the, because I mean, there was after all 5 years' warning, wasn't there?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Equal pay was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, was it all left to the last minute?
Well, I think it, well, a lot of it was, wasn't it?
I mean, it sounds, and from the dates, it looks yeah. as if what actually happened is you got to 1975 and nothing had actually been done about it.
That's it. Yeah, this is April 76, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's that actually is. Already.
And then these are the minutes, and if they're any good to you, you can have them. Or
yeah,
I
would be. Yeah.
No, and here's a pipe, so.
You mind if I leave?
Carry on. Ashtray somewhere. Okay.
So you went, what, you did get the union representatives to correct them, so to speak? Or was it actually self-generated the women?
There was a lot of it. Mind you, it so happened, it's a coincidence you went to Sutton's and all that and stuff, but Sutton's where it was really the drive came from the women.
Yeah.
In the in the Midlands, probably in the country, it was
really? Because,
well, Sutton's was the test case, you see. The test case came from Sutton.
Yeah.
The crack this lot.
Can you tell me about that then?
Yeah. Well, that was a Mrs. Dale who's still there, isn't she?
Yes, I think so. Is that the hygienist?
That's it. Yeah. Mrs. Dale's still there.
Yeah.
And. She, we'd put forms in for Mrs. Dale, same as other people. But on her own back, she wrote to the Equal Opportunities Commission, I think, it was called the Equal Pay at that time. She'd written those on her own back, apart from when she wanted us to do it, but she was quite prepared
to do this.
And. She put in for a tribunal, and at that point I said, well, I'll represent you at the tribunal. And we knew, and the employers knew, that it was going to be really a test one.
Mm.
It wasn't just a question of Mrs. Dale, what happened to Mrs. Dale, it was very much a test case, and that's why the employers brought all these documents with them. These were put in as evidence, and that's why they were numbered. These documents were put in as evidence by the employer. This is why I've got them, because you know, I'm not on the NJC or anything like that. This is how I come to have them, and I've still got them.
And did they come from the Federation, or from Allied Bakeries, or from Sutton's?
Sutton's is part of Allied Bakeries, so that narrows that down to that. And the case was against Allied Bakeries, it wasn't against the Federation as such, it was against Allied Bakeries. And
so that would have affected certainly all Allied Bakeries workers? Or all
bakery
workers?
Well, no, it didn't affect any of them covered by the agreement.
And was this, did it affect just hygienists? Or actually, did it affect more women in other jobs?
Well, the immediate effect was on hygiene workers. The interesting thing from our point of view is what the tribunal chairman said, you see. The case itself, at that time, employers were fighting equal pay cases at tribunals and everywhere else. Very often on the basis that, yes, she does do a job like the job he does, but he might be called upon to do blah, blah, blah. Mm. That was the technique at the time.
That's right, yeah.
Used by employers and men in that case.
Yeah.
And I knew that would be the sort of line that the firm would take, because it had been happening elsewhere. That you know, firms and the men would concede that yes, she's doing the same sort of thing that he's doing, but he might have to be asked to do something else.
Yeah. Which she couldn't do.
Yeah, that's yes. You know, this was happening to a lot of cases. And this was looked like happening to the one the Mrs. Dale case. Mrs. Dale worked in the ladies' toilet.
Mm.
Next door were three old guys, Asian guys, who worked in the gents' toilet.
Mm.
And